Today's daf is Menachos daf Chaf Aleph. We left off in daf Chaf Amid Beis. We are 2 lines from the bottom of the page on Chaf Amid Beis. So yesterday we were discussing which karbanos require melach, which parts of the karban require salt. So we said on daf Chaf Amid Beis that Rebbe, who holds that Eitzim can be called a karban, that a person can be menadev a karban of Eitzim, would hold that they need melech, that Eitzim even wood, even though it's counterintuitive, you certainly wouldn't assume that wood needs melicha, but nevertheless, Rebbe would hold, if it's called a karban, then it would require melech, and it would also require, we pointed out, hagasha and kmitza, it would be treated like a real karban. We discussed at the very end yesterday exactly what happens with the shirayim of the komets of wood, of a carbon of wood. So now says the Gemara, but if you're going to assume like Rebbe that Eitzim do require melech, well, yesterday we had a pasuk that was mima'et Eitzim that said that Eitzim do not require melech based on a pasuk. So then what's the pasuk going to come to be mima'et if it's not coming to be mima'et Eitzim? So ilam utei dam, if it's coming to tell me that dam does not require melech, me'al min chascha nafka. We already learned that drasha. We already learned Almin Chascha to exclude dam. So Afik Eitzim va'ayil nesachim. So says the Gemara maybe take out wood, but include nesachim. D'tanya avala yayin va'dam va'eitzim va'ktores ein tu'unin melech. That yayin, dam, eitzim, and ktores all do not require melech. So we see that yayin apparently is on the list, meaning Rebbe holds eitzim do require melech, but yayin does not require melech. So maybe that's what we're excluding from the pasuk. The yayin, the nesachim, is being excluded from the pasuk. The Rambam writes that if someone is misnadev to bring a carbon of yayin, he does put melech on it, and he's menaschal gabe ashisin kikal anesachim. He pours it in the shisin, in the holes in the mizbech, like all of the nesachim. Kesef Mishnah just wonders that there's a Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Mizbech that writes that ein lecha davar shekarav lemizbech below melech. Chutz min yein anesachim v'adam v'eitzim, that nothing is brought on the mizbeach without salt except for yein anesachim, dam and eitzim. So how can the Rambam say over here, the Rambam in Ma'aseh HaKorbanos, Perek Tezayin, Halach Yudalid, how could the Rambam say that if a person is misnadev to bring a carbon of yayin, that he does put melech on it? It's a steer in the Rambam. So that's the kasha that everyone asks in the Rambam. Kesef Mishnah primarily. So the Chazanish writes in Simin Chaf Hei that it seems that it's a typo in the Rambam. Very unusual way to solve a problem in the Rambam is to change it. He says he thinks that it's a typo in the Rambam. He said that whoever was copying over the Sifrei Rambam remembered that the Rambam writes Vinosin alav melech, and really the Rambam only said it twice by Shemen and Lavona, never meant to say it by Yayin that Nosin alav melech, and really Yayin does not get melech. But assuming you don't want to say it's a typo in the Rambam, Sahari Miyashiv the Stira. So the Kesef Mishnah says that the Rambam is mechalek between Yayin habab b'fnei atzmo, Yayin that's brought on its own, which would require melicha, and Yayin that's brought together with a minchas nesachim that does not require melicha. Lech Mishnah just wonders about this chilek, that the whole reason that Yayin does not require melicha is because it's not olal le'ishim and it's not ta'un eitzim. It doesn't go on the fire, it doesn't require any wood. Now those reasons are shayich even by Yayin habab b'fnei atzmo. Even when Yayin is brought on its own, it's not only shayich for Yayin that's brought as part of a minchas nesachim. And even though we have a machlokas in the Gemara in Zvachim of Tzadi Aleph, if Yayin habab b'fnei atzmo, whether you're menasech it into the shisin or you're mezalfal gabe yishim, and if you're mezalfal gabe yishim makes it sound like it is burnt on the fire, so and therefore maybe it should require melicha because it's ra'u li'ishim, it's considered something that's ra'u for the fire. But problem is, the Rambam doesn't paskin that way. The Rambam holds, you pour it into the shisin. So you're going to be hard-pressed to say that the Rambam saying it requires melech because it's ra'u li'ishim, based on that Gemara, that there's a machlokas, there's a shita, that it would be ra'u li'ishim. The Rambam doesn't paskin like that shita. So the Mikdash David explains that really yayin that's babif ne'atzma, that comes on its own, the din is that it should have been mizalfal gabi ishim. It should have been that you put it on the fire. But since the Torah says lo sichbe, since the Torah says that you're not allowed to extinguish the fire on the Mizbeach, so therefore you can't be Mizalifit on the Ishim, and instead we're Menasechit into the Shisin of the Mizbeach. But still, since theoretically it should have been something that you would pour on the Ishim, it's called Ola L'Ishim, and therefore is going to require Melach. But that's only Yayin Abba B'fnei Atzmo, that really theoretically belongs on the fire. But Yayin, that's not Abba B'fnei Atzmo, that does not even theoretically belong on the fire, would not require Melicha. That's how they answer the Stira in the Rambam. The Mikdash Tavid points out, according to the Rambam, that Yayin, that's Abba B'fnei Atzmo, so you should only put a small amount of salt on it, because if you put too much salt on it, it's going to become pasul as yayin mavushal, because we have a concept of meliach kiroseach, that when you salt something, it's as if it's been cooked, and therefore if you put too much salt in the yayin, it's going to have a din of yayin mavushal. Yayin mavushal is not ra'ui to be brought on the Mizbeach. That's the question. The Gemara Bava Basra talks about how only yayin that's right to be brought on the Mizbeach is good for a kos shel bracha. So why is it that we're so mekel with that? We allow wine. We have wine for kiddush that we use with artificial sweeteners and with certainly yayin that's mavushal. So that's a big question why it is that we're mekel with that. But certainly for the Mizbeach itself, yayin mavushal is out of the question. So if you hold that meliach is correct, I mean, we do hold Meliach is Keroseach, therefore you have to be careful not to salt the wine too much, because it's going to have a din of Mevushal. Question is that really true? Does it have a din of Mevushal in the sense of Yayin Mevushal on the Mizbeach? Meaning, Bishal has a lot of Nafkaminas La'alacha. There's an issue of Bishal B'Shabbos. Bishal matters in terms of Nesinas Tam, transferring Tam from one food to another in Hilchos Kashrus. So even if you say Meliach Keroseach, that Pashtus, the context of Meliach Keroseach, is in regards to Blios and Platos, in regards to the Tam of Isser transferring from one thing to the other. There is a machlokas from Ban and Ran at the end of Masech Avodah Zarah, if Meliach Keroseach literally makes it like Bishal, that to the extent that if you salted something on Shabbos, would you be chayiv for Bishal on Shabbos? Or maybe it's only a din in Blios and Platos. It's not a din in full-fledged Bishal. The Prima Gadim in Arachayim Simen Shin Yud Ches, in Hilchus Bishal B'Shabbos, Prima Gadim writes, Pshitali Meliach Keroseach, Kavush k'mevushal, rak lahaflitu lahavliya. He says it's pasha to him that the concept of Meliach Keroseach and the concept of Kavish k'mevushal is about transference of tam, but in regards to Hilcha Shabbos, it absolutely does not apply. And therefore, says the Prima Gadim, if something was already maluach, you're not going to say, "Oh, ein bishal achar bishal, now I can cook it." No, it's not called mevushal legabi Hilcha Shabbos. So lechora, you could say the same thing over here. This ha'ara of the Mikdash David that you shouldn't put too much salt on the wine, because then it's going to become mevushal. Lechora is telling you in that machlokas Ramban and Ran whether it fact becomes like it is cooked. So anyway, so says the Gemara, wait a second, money, who is the author of this brisa? We have a brisa that tells us, yayin dam eitzim en ketores, four items that do not require salting, that do not require any melach. E Rebbe Kasha Eitzim. If Rebbe is the author, well, we just said yesterday, and we started off today's shir by saying that Rebbe holds Eitzim do require Melicha. So Rebbe can't be the author of the line that says that Eitzim is on the list of four things that do not require Melach. E Rabbanon, if you want to say it's going like the Rabbanon, Kasha Ketores. The Rabbanon say, we learned in yesterday's daf, that anything that's Acherim Ba'in Lochova is going to require Melech. Ketores requires Eitzim and therefore should require Melech, according to the Rabbanon. So how could Ketores be on the list of things that don't require Melech? So says the Gemara, it's a third sheet, a Haitanahu. Who's this Brisa going like the following Brisa? Detanya, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho Rabbi Yochman Baroka Omer, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho Rabbi Yochman Baroka says, Ma Prat Mufurish Davar Shemekabal Tuma. Just like the only place the Torah specifies that you need melech on a korban, which is by a korban mincha. Again, a little counterintuitive. You ask most people who never learned menachos, where does the Torah say, or people, I guess, who never learned the Torah, where does the Torah say that you need melech? The first answer is not korban mincha. You would not assume korban mincha required, but the place where the Torah specifies that you need melech, which is by a korban mincha. What qualities does it have in common that we could, with other things that we could learn, you require melech by? So the qualities of Karban Mincha, says the Braisa that we single out, is that Karban Mincha is Mekabel Tuma, it's Olo the Yishim, it's supposed to go on the fire, and it's brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So Av Koldav Ramekabel Tuma, V'ol Yishim Yeshon on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. When are you going to require a Melech? Only things that have those three characteristics. Now we understand the author of the Braisa that excludes Yayin, Dam, Eitzim, and Ketores. Why? Yatsu Eitzim, Shein Mekabel Tuma. Eitzim are out, because Eitzim are not mekabel tumah. Yatsu dam v'yayin shein olam l'ishim. Dam and yayin are out because they're not olam l'ishim. Dam and yayin aren't burned in the fire. Yatsu ketores shein olam mizbeach hachitzon. And ketores is out because it's not burned in the mizbeach hachitzon. So that's why that's the author of the braisa that excludes those things, because you need those three qualities in order to require a melech. Now there is a Rashi over here that asks a question. I notice in Menachos a lot of, unlike in other Mesechtos, Rashi's been asking and answering a lot of questions. He's been functioning almost like Tosfos in several places already. But if you look at Rashi, Eitzimain Mekablin Tumma, V'yafal Gav Da'atzeima Aracham Mekablin Tumma, he says, is that true that Eitzim are necessarily not Mekabel Tumma? The Atzeima Aracha, the wood that they would use for the Mizbeach, was Mekabel Tumma, because Amin Perak Sheni the Pesachim, V'abbasol Rabbis Eitzim. Like it says in the Gemara in the second part of Pesachim, and also in Zvachim Daf Lamed Daled, the Gemara says that the Eitzim and Levona are Mekabel Tuma. So says Rashi, Hayim it Rabbanan hu Mishum Chibas Hakodesh Vekras Machta Bialma. The Eitzim Bialma lo Mekabel Tuma. Nah, that's only Din Rabbanan. Pasuk is only in a Smachta Bialma. It's only Mit Rabbanan that the Eitzim. That the Eitzim are Mekabel Tumah, but typically Eitzim on a Daraisa level certainly are not Mekabel Tumah. Tosfos, Dibur Maskel Yatsu, disagrees with Rashi. He says, he proves that Tumas Eitzim Levona is in fact Minatara. So Tosfos says, aye, so how could the Gemara say Eitzim is not Mekabel Tumah? What about the Atzim Aracha? According to Tosfos, they're Mekabel Tumah Midaraisa. So he says, no, because all we learn from the Pasuk is Atzim Aracha, but other Eitzim are not Mekabel Tumah. And the Gemara is saying Eitzim in general are not Mekabel Tumah. Even though from the Pasuk we learn that the Atzei Ma'aracha may be an exception, they might be Mekabel Tuma. Also, the Achronim try to answer this question about how we can say Eitzim are not Mekabel Tuma, if after all we know that the Atzei Ma'aracha are Mekabel Tuma. So the Karen Aris suggests, based on Tosvos, based on the same Tosvos we had before, at the end of Tosvos, Karen Aris suggests that which we say Tumas Eitzim is Minat Torah, that's only according to Rebbe, who holds that Eitzim is a Karban Gomor. If you say Eitzim is a full-fledged Karban, then the Tumas Eitzim is Minat Torah. But for the Rabbanon, who are Cholik on Rebbe, and say that Eitzim does not have a shame Karban, then Eitzim is not Mekabel Tumah either. And our Gemara over here, where it's telling me that Eitzim are not Mekabel Tumah, is assuming, like the Rabbanon, and that regard that Eitzim are not considered a carbon. Another one of the Achronim that answers this question, the Cheshek Shlomo in the back of the Gemara says that in the Gemara there's a suffix if the Eitzim are, and the Lavona are Tamei enough even to be Metamei Acherim, even to be Metamei other things. Or maybe it's only Tamei in the sense that it itself is Tamei, but it doesn't have the ability to be Metamei other things. So it could be that's what the Gemara means, that the Gemara is saying that we're trying to compare what's similar to Karban Mincha. Well, Karban Mincha is Mekabel Tumah. Doesn't just mean that it's Mekabel Tumah. It means that it can make other things Tamei as well. Eitzim, even if they can become Tamei, and even if that Tumah is Midaraisa, like Tosfos wants to suggest, maybe it's only Midaraisa that it becomes Tamei, but not that it's able to be Metamei anything else. So those are the various ways to answer this question that Rashi raises of how the Gemara could label Eitzim as something that's not Mekabel Tumah. The Ravid just raises the following question: according to Rabbi Yishmael, that we exclude Eitzim from Mitzvah Melicha because it's not Mekabel Tumah, why does Levona require Melicha? Levona is also not Mekabel Tumah, meaning it is Mekabel Tumah, but it's Mekabel Tumah the same way Eitzim is Mekabel Tumah. So whatever you're going to say about Eitzim, that Eitzim is called by the Gemara something that's not Mekabel Tumah, well, then you should say the same thing by Levona. Levona would have the same status L'chora, as Eitzim have. So that's the Ravid's Kasha. The Ravid says that Levona requires Melicha because it's included in the Karban of the Karmincha. Kol Karban Minchascha B'melech Timlach, and the Levona is part of the Karban Mincha. So since the Levona is brought together with the Mincha and is part of the Karban Mincha, that's why it requires Melicha. And once we're going to say that Levona that's part of a larger Karban Mincha requires Melicha, then we say, okay, even Levona that's Babifnei Atzma requires Melicha. But this goes back to the conversation we had in the past couple of days. Is Levona, in fact, part of the Karban Mincha? Or is Levona separate? So I think we mentioned yesterday the Raya, that the Gemara says that if you have a very large Karban Mincha, so you have to increase the amount of oil as much as you increase the amount of flour. But Levona, no matter how big it is, you can have shishim esronim of flour and of oil, doesn't matter, just to come into Levona makes it sound like the Levona is not really a part of the Karban Mincha. But this Ravid is a Raya, that the Levona is considered a part of the Karban Mincha. The Shlomo writes that the Levona, even when it's on its own, is not Mekabel Tuma, but since it's normal to use Levona as a spice for food, and then it's going to be Mekabel Tuma, so it's considered to be something that's Mekabel Tuma. Wood would never be used as an ingredient in food. So Eitzim are not Mekabel Tuma, but Levona, because it's a spice, even though it's not edible in its own right, but because it's a spice, says the El Shlomo, that's why it's Mekabel Tuma. So anyway, so says Gemara Vayter, El Taimi D'Miyate Kral Adam. So the reason why Dam does not require melech is because the Torah has a pasuk to text the pasuk excludes dam. Halavach yavamin adam libay melech. Sounds like had it not been for the pasuk, I would have naturally assumed that dam does need melech. Well, frankly, Mark, even the malche nafak lemitoras dam. How could you say that? Because once you salt the dam, it no longer has the status of dam. Damer ziriyam remechadina dam shabishlu eino overlove. If you cook dam, then you're not going to be in violation of eating dam. The isra vachilas dam is only on dam that has not been cooked. If one were to cook dam, there would not be a violation of eating dam. So how can you say that had it not been for the pasuk, I would have assumed that dam does require melech? If it would require melech, would it be dam anymore? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Zeiri, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Zeiri, dam shemalcho ain over love. Rabbi Yehuda Didei Amar, evarm shetzalan vehelan ain behemishum lereich nichach. That dam that you salt, you don't violate. You don't violate the Isra of Achilas Dam on Dam that you salt. And Evarim that are roasted and are brought up, it's not Mishum, it doesn't have a Reyach Nichach, Takarj Baruchu. Says Gemara, Ma'u Detema Mishta Bamashuhu, the Mitzvah Bialma. No, not that I would have had a Havamina, that you should put a significant amount of salt in the Dam. Nah, I would have said just put a Mashuhu, just as a Mitzvah to the requirement to put Melech on the Karban, should tell you to put a Mashuhu of Dam on the Karban, and a Mashuhu of Melech. Rather than the dam, and that would have been enough. That's what I would have thought. That's why Kamash Milan, the pasuk tells me that no, dam does not require melech at all. So that you see the parallels, the discussions that the Rishonim and Achronim have in regards to yayin and what melech would do to yayin in terms of bishul has its parallel in how the Gemara discusses dam and what we would have done with dam had dam in fact required melech. There is this in the Torah to eat dam. The Ramban writes that the pasuk is teaching me that the Torah asers dam because the dam was given to us to go on the mizbeach to be mechaper al nafshoseinu, to serve as a kapara for us, v'hu chelek Hashem, and it's a part that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not for us. And so says the Ramban, so maybe you'll ask, okay, that explains the dam behema. What about a dam chayev ha'of, where you're not makrev a dam chayev ha'of? So he says, the Torah wants to keep us away from all dams so that we shouldn't make any mistakes. The Ramban does this a lot. The Ramban assumes that there's a concept of siyagda oraisa all the time. He assumes in a lot of different places that the Torah makes its own fences around the Torah. That the Torah really wants to aser one thing, but the Torah will aser other things as well. We had this when it comes to Hechsher L'Kabel Tuma. Ramban says, why is it that something that when something becomes wet, when a food item becomes wet, it becomes Hechsher L'Kabel Tuma? So the Ramban says, because moisture is like glue that allows Tuma to stick. When something is wet, so things stick. So when something is wet, the Tuma on a spiritual level is able to stick. So the Ramban says, great, that makes sense when it's wet. What about something that was wet and has since dried? Why is that mekabel tuma? Why is that considered uksul mekabel tuma? He says, yeah, so as not to become confused. The Torah made a siyag d'oraisa, so as not to become confused that even things that have since dried should not be mekabel tuma. The Ramban has this all the time. The Ramban believes that the Torah sometimes will make a low plug, even though we're familiar with the concept of low plug. On a Rabbanan level, the Ramban assumes that it applies on a Daraisa level as well. Okay, so it says the Gemara Vayter. Gufa, Amar Ziri, Amar B'chanina, Dam Shabishlu, Eino Over Love. If Dam is cooked, you don't violate the Yisra of Achilas Dam by eating cooked Dam. Yosef, Rava V'kamer Lola HaShmaita, so Rava was saying over this teaching, Eisve Abaye, and Abaye asked as follows, Hikves Adam V'achlu, what if you congealed the Dam, so the Dam is now a solid, so instead of drinking it, you eat it. O Shehimcha Esachelev V'gamo, or what if you do the opposite, you take Chelev of a behemoth, fats of an animal, and you cook it up to the point where it becomes a liquid. You liquefy it, and then you swallow it like a drink. So chayiv, you're going to be chayiv in those cases. So how can you say that dam that you're mevashel, you're not in violation of, which sounds like you're saying that anytime you're meshana it, anytime you change it, you're not going to be in violation of the Yisrov Achilas dam. Over here we say that if you congeal the dam, you are chayiv. So says Gemara, lo kasha, kan shehikfa ba'ar, kan shehikfa b'chama. Now it depends how you congeal the dam. Did you cook it or did you not cook it? If you cooked the dam, you're not going to be chayiv. Ba'ar lo hadr, if you cook it in the sun, so then it's not going to go back to its original state. Bechama hadar, if you cook it in the, ba'ar, if you cook it in the fire, it's not going to go back to its original state. Bechama, but if you cook it in the sun, hadar, it will go back to its original state. So therefore, the basic chilek is that dam that's cooked, in fact, you're not chayavan, provided that it's a permanent change. When do we assume dam that's cooked has had a permanent change? If it was cooked with fire. But if it was cooked with the sun, if it was bishul bechama, it hasn't had a permanent change, and mele, it's not going to have the status of dam vushal, it's going to have the status of just regular dam, and therefore you're going to be chayiv on it. It's interesting because the Gemara's chilek makes it sound like it's a very practical chilek. Is it hadar or is it not hadar? The Gemara Lechora could have said that it's a question of the definition of bishul, that dam mevushal is something that you're not going to be chayiv on. But what's called bishul? Typically speaking, bishul bechama is not called bishul, right? We have this in Hilcha Shabbos, that bishul bechama you're not chayiv on bishul bechama in Shabbos. Bishul told us achama, yes, but bishul bechama in the sun itself, typically it's not called bishul. Over here the Gemara makes it sound like it's something that's completely practical, not an issue of the very definition of bishul. That sugya of bishul b'chama is very nogei lemaisa in terms of what the poskim discuss in the last 30 years, when they talk of 40 years, when the poskim discuss microwaves. If a person cooks milk and meat together in a microwave, is that basar b'chol midaraisa, or is that only basar b'chol midrabanan? Is that considered bishul? If, let's say, you were able to, someone cooked on Shabbos in a microwave, is that considered that it had bishul daraisa? So that's the question of how you understand bishul b'chama. Is the din of bishul b'chama just stam that it's not called bishul, or it's considered that since it's ein derech bishul, it's not the normal way to be mevashel, that's why it doesn't have a din of bishul? That's where Moshe writes in the famous tshuva written 40 years ago, before most people had microwaves, where Moshe wrote in a very famous tshuva that the whole reason for bishul b'chama is that people assume we assume that it's not the normal way to cook. So microwaves, he says, it's not yet the normal way to cook because there aren't so many microwaves out there in the market, but he says, you see, buy the stocks now because this thing is going to be big. Everyone's going to have a microwave, and everyone's going to use it, and people are going to cook with it. That's what he writes in the Igros Moshe. So that's going to be the derech bishul, he thought. Okay, but anyway, so says the Gemara, bechamanami lema hol v'idchi idchi. So even if it was mevushal in the sun, so what did we say is the whole svara? When you mevushal in the sun, it does change, it does congeal, but it's going to go back to becoming regular dam, and therefore you're still going to be chayav on it. Why do we say that? Why don't we assume that one once it's nidche from the Yisr, once it congeals, it's no longer subject to the Yisr. And once it's nidche forever. It never reverts back to being subject to the Yisr. Just like we say by mitzvos, we have a whole sugya of dichle etzel mitzvos. So why don't we say the same thing by Yisurim? We had the shayla, what if dam becomes congealed and you eat it? And we said this concept, that once it's pushed off, once it's no longer subject to the Yisr, so that's it. It's no longer subject to the Yisr. It doesn't come back. So Ishtik, he had no response to that. Why we wouldn't say that dam, that's karush b'chama, is hol v'nidcha yidcha. Now later on, the Gemara in Daf Nadal and Beis is going to have machlokas whether there's a concept of dichoy b'isurim or no concept of dichoy b'isurim. The Rambam holds that there's no dichoy b'isurim, that we don't say this concept that once it's pushed away from the Isser, it can't become Usser again. The Rambam says we do not hold to that. So the Karanora points out that that might be true of all other Isurim in the Torah, but maybe Karbanos are different. Maybe by Dam, where the Isser is totally in the fact, the whole reason that Dam is Usser is because it is Ra'u Lekapara, and by Karbanos there is a concept of Dichoy, so maybe even if you hold on Daf Nundalid that Ein Dichoy be Isurim, maybe the Isser of Dam is different, because Dam is related to Karban, it's related to Kapara, and it's Karbanos, we do have a concept of dichoy. So that's why the two sugyas are not necessarily 100% related. So Amalei, so he said to him, Dilma, kan b'chatos ha-chitzonios, kan b'chatos ha-pnimios. Maybe there's a difference between the chatos ha-chitzonios and the chatos ha-pnimios. Parm and sirim and esrafim, and the chatos ha-chitzonios. Maybe when we say that hikves adam b'chama, that you're going to be chayiv, and huadin, when you're makfe chulin, dam chulin in the chama, is chatos ha-chitzonios, dam that could be used for kapara. So Amar it karta milsa da Amar Rav Chista says, ah, you just reminded me of something that Rav Chista said. Dam shekarish bechatos v'achlo chayiv. That if dam became congealed and it was part of it was dam chataos and you eat it, you're chayiv. V'lokach v'nasad Amar Rachmana v'hai bar lekicha v'nisinahu, because the pasuk says v'lokach v'nasan, and this dam that's karash is able to be lokach v'nasan. V'chatos ha-pnimios v'achlo pater. But if dam became congealed from chatos ha-pnimios, then you're going to be pater. Why? Because it's not just v'lokach v'nasan, taking and putting, v'taval v'hiza amarachmana. It's dipping and sprinkling. That can only be done in a liquid. That cannot be done in a solid. V'hai lav bar tevila v'azohu. And the chatos ha-pnimios, where you need tevila and hazoa, well, you can't do that with dam that's already congealed. It's not a bar tevila v'hazoa. Rava himself happens to hold that even dam of chatos ha-pnimios that congealed and you eat it, you're going to be chayiv. Since that same dam would be ra'ui to achieve kapara chatos ha-chitzonios, memel it's going to be considered dam even in legabe the chatos ha-pnimios. But again, you see that the nature of the isser of dam is tully in kapara. As long as there's this type of dam could ever give you kapara somewhere, so then you're going to say that it's going to be subject to the Isser of Achilas Dam. Amar Rav Papas, Rav Papas says, Hilkach Dam Chamor. Therefore, if you have dam of a donkey, Shekarash, that became congealed, Va'achlo, and you ate it, Chayiv. Since such dam could be ro'i for chatos achitzonios, meaning even though there's a chamor can never be used as a karban, so there's no this min of dam can never be ro'i lekapara because you can't bring carbon from non kosher animals. Still, you're going to be chayiv on it. That's the chiddush. That's how Rashi explains it. The problem is, Shidung Betzis points out, there's a Mishnah Maseches Krisos that says explicitly that you're chayiv on dam of a behemah tamei as well. So what's Rav Papa teaching me? It's a Mishnah. I know that a behemah that's not kosher, you're still chayiv on the dam of such a behemah. Cheshek Shlomo in the back of the Gemara has a very interesting take on it. He says it's a typo. It's not dam chamor, it's dam hamor, with a hey, not dam chamor, not with a ches. And hamor is one of the samane hakatores. Rishonim write that there was a certain chayiv Yadua, there was a certain known known wild beast that was called a mor, and it had a chtoteres bitzavara umiskabit sham kamin dam. It had like a cavity on its neck where something, some liquid that looked like dam gathered there. And the Rama says that you weren't allowed to eat it because of a chashash dam. So maybe that's what Rav Papa was saying, that since we say ha'olu kenegdo, so even the dam hamor that mitchilas priyaso, it's all karush, it all congeals in one place in the animal, nevertheless you're chayav for eating it, since kenegdo roi lekapara, since generally dam that's congealed could be roi lekapara. That's the chiddush, not that it's dam from a non-kosher animal. That's a phenomenal chiddush of the Cheshek Shlomo in how to read the Gemara. Obviously you have to change a letter to make the Gemara readable according to the Cheshek Shlomo. Anyway, says Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Gidol Amar Zeiri, dam bein lach bein yavish chotzeitz. New halacha, by going to the mikvah, let's say a woman has dam on her body when she goes to the mikvah, so is it a chatzitza in the mikvah? So whether it's dry, whether it's moist, it is a chatzitza. Says Gemara Meisvei, Adam v'diyov v'advash v'acholov, yaveshin chotzin lachanein chotzin. But didn't we learn that all these various liquids, including dam, only if they're dry, they're a chatzitza, but if they're moist, they're not a chatzitza. So how can you say that whether it's dry or moist, it is a chatzitza? So lo kasha had the sarich had lo sarich. It depends how dry. So Rashi says sarich means that it's begun to dry and to become a little sticky. So then it is chotzeitz. And lo sarich means that when you put your finger on it, it still spreads around. You could still spread it around the skin. That's moist enough that it's not going to be chatzitza. Now, why is it that there's no chatzitza balach? Why is it that things that are moist are not going to have a chatzitza? If it's completely moist, it's not chotzeitz. So a significant group of Rishonim, Tosfos Maseches Chulin and Daf Chavav Maseches Vachem Daf Ayin Ches, write that the Meya Mikvah, the waters of the Mikvah, moisten that which is moist, and they're able to go through to penetrate something that itself is a liquid. So the water of the Mikvah actually does touch your body because it totally penetrates anything that's moist. That's what the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, seems to assume in Beis Yosef in Yardeya Sim Kuf Tzadiches Sif Tazayin. The Netziv claims in Hamik Sheila that that's the sheet of Ro. Rishonim. However, the Mordechai and Shavuos and the Urayim, and all these are quoted by the Ramah, say that the reason that moist blood is not chotzeitz, or moist liquids in general are not chotzeitz, is because it's eino makbid. It's considered miyot she'eino makbid. And because it's eino makbid, that's why it's not chotzeitz. Nafkamina might be whether lechadchila you should try to remove it. We even try to remove lechadchila a miyot she'eino makbid. If it's just something that's not a chatzitz b'chlal, if it's an item that's not a chatzitz, then there's no point in removing it at all. But if it's something that is a chatzitza, if it were to be a larger amount, it's just that it's a miyachein amakbid, therefore it's not going to be chotzitz b'di'evet, well then lechatchila we would remove it. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Timlach, so the Pasuk says, when the Pasuk talks about putting salt on a karban, it has a double lashon. It's melach timlach, b'melach timlach rather. It says, kol karban minchascha, b'melach timlach. All your karban minchas, with salt, you should salt it. Well, what else would I salt it with? So why does it have the double expression? What does timlach mean? So timlach l'may asa. What's timlach coming to teach me? L'chidetanya, the following b'risa. B'melach yachal tivonehu. Had I only had the word b'melach, I would think tivonehu. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what that means. We don't know yet. Tamalomar, timlach. That's why it says timlach, to tell me not tivonehu. E timlach yachal b'mei melach. If I just had timlach, I would say I can use salt water. Tamalomar b'melach. That's why he says, no, not salt water, salt. You need to use salt, dry salt. V'lotashbis melach, haba melach, have melach she'ena shoveses, ve'ezu zu melach stomus. You're supposed to bring a kind of melach that's not shoves, that's common all year round, that you can find 365 days a year, and that is specifically melach sedomus. U'minayin shim lo matzah melach stomus, maybe melach istro kanis. How do I know that if you can't find melach sedomus, you should find melach that's mined from the ground, that comes from the ground, and a human being has to mine it out. It's not just a natural resource that's just automatic like melach sedomus. Tamalomer takriv kolshu, you bring whatever, takriv mikol makom, you bring even from chutz laretz, doesn't matter where you get it from, takriv afilu b'shabbos, you would bring salt even on Shabbos, takriv afilu b'tumah, you would bring salt even on even b'tumah. There is a major discussion in the Achronim, what's the chiddush that afilu b'shabbos, what malach are you violating when you molech the karbanos, when you put salt on, let's say, food on Shabbos? What's the issue? You're putting salt on a karban. What's the issue on Shabbos that you need a special riboy to tell me that you could be moleach
even on Shabbos. Mulicha is asr on Shabbos when you're being molech oros, when you're salting hides of animals. The mulicha is a form of ibud of oros, but on food, there's no din of ibud ba'ochlin. So what are we talking about? That melech is a problem, that we need a special drasha. So the achronim have 10 different suggestions of what the isr might be when it comes to melech on a karban. So okay, we're not going to go through all 10. Just mention one or two of them. That since karbanos of Shabbos are kalil ishim and are not nechal, they're completely burnt on the mizbech. They're not nechal, so maybe that's not considered like ibud ba'ochlin. Ibud ba'ochlin, we say, is mutter, but that's only if the ochel is nechal. But over here, you're dealing with something that's not nechal at all. It's completely burnt on the fire. That's how the Rashba writes. Others say that tikkun karban is similar to ibud. That if that's what's misakin the karban, Rashba quotes this answer as well. That if something is misakin the karban, it's similar enough to ibud that it should be a problem. Others say maliach karos. That's the din of Bishul. That since we have this concept, Maliach Karosech. But then you got to go back to our discussion. Is Maliach Karosech Mamish Bishul? Or is Maliach Karosech just a din in giving Blios, in giving Tam? So what if a person likes to heavily salt his food? So is that going to be a violation of Bishul? If a person likes to heavily... Well, most of the time you're putting salt on the food, it's already cooked anyway. So it's saying Bishul Ach Bishul. We think of it, my cooking the salt, sometimes we worry, which is not a problem anyway. But what about the salt? Cooking the food, that by salting the food, it itself is cooking the food. That's what the Nedvi Yehuda suggests. Might be the reboy in the pasuk that nevertheless you're allowed to put melech on the karbanos. Okay, says the Gemara, we use this term that Timlach is teaching me Tivonehu, right? That I might think Tivonehu. Timlach tells me not to be Tivonehu. So my Tivonehu, what does that word mean? Amar Barula Hachikamar Yachli Sponenu Kitevin Betit. I might think to just pile it on like Tevin in cement, like straw in cement. Just have tons of it. Amalei Abai, that's what Tivoneu means. So that's why Timlach tells me no, in good measure. Amalei Abai, Ihachi Yisponenu mi Bailei. Then the word would be Yisponenu, not Tivonenu. Elam Rabai, so Abai says no, Yachli Asenu Kibinyan. I might think to make it like a building, like to put a lot of, to layer it on, one layer after another of Melach. So Amalei Rava, Ihachi Yivanenu mi Bailei. Yivanen, it should say Yivanenu. Now what's the difference between Abai's suggestion and the previous suggestion? Rabbi Barula's suggestion. They're both saying the same thing, that it means a lot of salt. The question is the etymology of the word. Is Tivonenu Milashon Binyan, or is it Lashon Yisponenu? So Elam Rava Yachal Tivonehu. I might think Tivonehu, my Tivonehu, Amravashi Yachal Yitin Bodam Tam Kibina. I might think, no, not that you should put so much, but that you should put very little. That you should just give a little bit of Tam, like the amount of Bina a person has. The amount of Bina a male has, at least. A woman has Bina Yisera. But a man has a very limited amount of Bina. So just a tiny amount to give a little bit of a different twist. Tamalom or Timlach. That's why it says Timlach, that you should put more than just a bare minimum. Ketzaruo says, so, okay, how much? Not too much, not too little. How much? Mevia Ever, you bring the limb, v'nosin alav melach, you put salt in it, v'chozer v'hovcho, you turn it upside down, v'nosin alav melach, and you put salt on the other side also. Umalei, and then you bring it up and you burn it. Amra Abaye v'chein l'kadeira. Abaye says when it comes to doing malicha on meat, you would have the same din of malicha of turning it upside down and adding melech there as well. We'll get to that mirtz Hashem much later on, Mesachas Chulin over the summer. Tan Rabbanan, melech shal gabe ever mo'al in bo. The salt that is on the that you put on the limbs of the animal are subject to meila. Shal gabe akevesh v'shabrosh shal mizbeach ein mo'al in bo. But the salt that's on the ramp or that's on the top of the mizbeach, You're not going to be subject to me'ila. V'amrav Master Mikra, what's the pasuk that teaches us this? V'kraftim l'fnei Hashem v'yishlichu akonim aleim melech ve'elu asam olul Hashem. So the pasuk teaches us that al-gabei ever is subject to me'ila, because it says v'yishlichu aleim akonim melech ve'elu asam ola. So we see from there that an ever with its salt are both called the ola. The ever together with the salt are both labeled an ola. In what sense? That they're subject to me'ila. Tana nasa milat in the Mishnah. Ala melech vala eitzim, shea kohanim ne osin bahen. The melech and the eitzim, the kohanim, are allowed to get hana'a from. They're allowed to enjoy. Amar Shmuel lo shanu el karbanam. That's only true of the salt that's used likarbanam. We're going to define these terms soon. Avla achila lo. But the salt that's used for achila, it's not so. The kohanim are not allowed to get benefit from. So kasal kadaitach, we assumed, what do these terms mean? May likarbanam, limloach karbanam. To salt their karbanos, the karban olos, the karban minchas that they bring for the melich of their karbanos, that they're allowed to use the salt for the melich of the karbanos. Le'echol achilas kodshim. And when we say, but not for achila, they're not allowed to use the salt le'echol, it means to eat the kodshim. So says the Gemara, why wouldn't they be allowed to use the salt for achilas kodshim? Hashalim loch oros kachim lamloch oros kachim yavinan lachilas kachim lo yavinan. They're allowed to use the salt to be maleach the hides of the kachim. They wouldn't be allowed to use the salt for the achilas kachim. How do I know they're allowed to use it for the hides of the kachim? Tanya, we have a brisa. Nimtzei tata omer b'shlosha mekamos hamelach nesuna. We learned this yesterday, that there are three places where they would put the salt. Belishchas Hamelach, in the Lishchas Hamelach, Val Gabe Akevesh, and on the ramp, Uberosh Shal Mizbeach, and on the top of the Mizbeach. What would they do with each of the at each of these places? Belishchas Hamelach, Shesham Molchin, Oros Kachin. That's why we're quoting this brisa. In the Lishchas Hamelach, what would they do with the salt there? That's where they would salt the Oros. That's where they would salt the hides of the Kachin. Al Gabe Akevesh, Shesham Molchin, is Evarim. On the ramp, that's where they would do the Malicha of the Evarim, of the limbs of the animal. Verosh Shal Mizbeach, and on the top of the Mizbeach, what are they doing with salt on the top of the Mizbeach? Shesham Molchin HaKometz V'Levona V'Ketores U'Minchas Kohanim U'Minchas Kohen Mashiach U'Minchas Nesachim B'Yolos Ha'Of. That's where they would do the Malicha on Olos Ha'Of and on all the different Menachos. So bottom line is, you see, that they're allowed to use the Melech for being Ma'abed the Oros, for being Maleach the Oros. So how could you say that they're not allowed to enjoy the Melech for the Achilas Kachim? They're allowed to enjoy the Melech for the Oros of Kachim, but not for the Achilas Kachim? Counterintuitive, doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says that we must retranslate these terms that Shmuel used. Again, Shmuel said that they're allowed to use the melech lekarbanam, but not la'achila. Not la'achila can't mean that they're not allowed to use it for achilas kachim. That's out of the question. So elamai lekarbanam, what does lekarbanam mean? La'achilas karbanam. No, when they are allowed to use it, it's la'achilas karbanam. When it says lekarbanam, not when Shmuel used the term lekarbanam, not the term la'achila, he meant for achilas karbanam. When he was saying what they're allowed to do with it, he was saying that they're allowed to use it for eating the karbanos. Umay la'achila, what does he mean when he says they're not allowed to use this melech la'achila? Achilat chulin means eating just regular food, eating regular chulin food. So it says, chulin pshita, my bayu hasam. Of course they're not allowed to put the salt on chulin food. You can't bring chulin into the azara. What would they do with chulin food in the azara? This is an interesting point that the Gemara is making, because we've discussed in the past the isra of chulin ba'azara, a major discussion in the Rishonim, is it an isra to just stam bring chulin into the azara, or to bring chulin in the azara for sacrificial purposes? Let's say I stam want to bring something that's chulin into the azara. I don't plan on sacrificing it, using it on the mizbeach or anything like that. I just happen to have chulin around. I just happen to be holding onto something that's chulin. Is that an isra of chulin azara? Makes it sound over here that yes, that meaning how can you? What are you doing with chulin food in the azara? You're not allowed to bring chulin food into the azara. Sounds like even if I don't plan on sacrificing of using it in any way of hakrava, it's still problematic. But anyway, so it says there are ways out of that. But even though the Torah says you're supposed to eat a lot in order to be able to be ochel the carbon alasova, so even though you're allowed to eat chulin in order to fill up your stomach so that you could eat alasova and you shouldn't be starving by the time you eat the carbon, nevertheless you can't use the melech of kachem for that purpose. This new translation of lekarbanim has to be correct, because if you say lekarbanim means lemloach, time of the asni beizdin, hello asni beizdin lo. Sounds like it's only because there's a tanai beizdin that allows you to use it, but otherwise you would not be allowed to use it. Hashli yisrael yavinu lekohanim lo yavinu, but that doesn't make any sense. Why would we allow Yisrael to use it and not allow the kohanim to use it? Titania, where do we see that Yisrael is allowed to use it? So this whole brisa is going to show it to us. Yachlo marei mincha yavi melech mitoch beiso gedarek shemevi levona mitoch beiso. I might think if someone says that he's going to bring carbon mincha, he should bring the salt from his house the same way he brings the levona from his house. Vidinu never heavy mincha vehevi melech. Pasuk says bring a mincha, it says bring salt. V'nemar hevi mincha vehevi levona, it says bring a mincha and bring levona. Ma levona mitach pesach, melech mitach pesach. Just like levona you bring from Yas, salt also. O kalech l'derek zur, maybe I would say the other way. Nemar hevi mincha vehevi melech, v'nemar hevi mincha vehevi etzim. It also mentions to bring etzim. So maybe I should compare salt to etzim rather than to levona. And ma etzim mishal tzibur, av melech mishal tzibur. I don't bring my own wood. The wood has to come from the wood of the tzibur. So near l'mi doma. So what is melech more similar to? Is it more similar to etzim or more similar to levona? So dam davar anog b'kol zvachim, davar anog b'kol zvachim, al tochiach levona shein noag as b'kol zvachim. Well, wood applies to all karbanos. Levona doesn't. So maybe therefore salt is more like wood. O kol chudar zur. Maybe go in the opposite direction. Dam davar abayim b'kli echad, midavar abayim b'kli echad. You should have the two things, the melech and the levona, are in the same kli. The wood is not in the same kli. Val yochich etzim shein abayim b'kli echad. So tamal omer bris melech olam hu ulalanu omer meis bnei yisrael bris olam mala halan mishal tzibur afkan mishal tzibur. So we see from there that just like when it comes to the levona, it's mishal. Just like when it comes to the wood, rather, it's mishal tzibur. You use the wood mishal tzibur. So too the melech that uses mishal tzibur. So what do you see? A regular yisrael decides he wants to bring a karban, and we allow him to use the melech of the tzibur. So it has to be that if a kohen wants to use it, he's also allowed to use the melech of the tzibur. That's why you have to say you have to say that that's permissible. There's no way we can be excluding that. Okay, we'll stop there.